Welcome to the Fearless Future Podcast. I'm your host, Catherine McCourt, transformational life and business coach. Today's guest is Paul Helmy. He is a best-selling author, international speaker, financial advisor, and a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world champion. To entrepreneurs, he is the secret weapon they don't want their competitors knowing about. He is a former stockbroker and built his business into one of the most successful gyms in the U.S. He creates high six-figure offline businesses for his clients. So welcome to the show, Paul. Really awesome to have you on today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I was interested in your story because it does involve transformation. So you were previously a stockbroker and since become a gym owner of several gyms and then created consulting businesses to help other entrepreneurs do the same and find financial freedom. So also incorporating that stockbroker and financial background and knowledge into what it is that you're doing now. So I can't wait to dive in. So Paul, can you share with us what has been for you the biggest transformation or most important transformation that you feel you've made in your life?
In my life, it would be falling in love with jiu-jitsu of all things. See me now, I have headphones out. I have mangled jiu-jitsu ears and MMA ears and I look a lot different than I used to. People that knew me as a younger person, I played golf in college. I wasn't very physically fit. A lot of those things were, didn't really take care of myself, kind of a typical thing for golfers. And then, of course, it changed lately, but got into jiu-jitsu and it just changed my life because it helped me out so much with, like, you know, the physical aspects, obviously, and the health parts, but also the mental side of it. It's physical chess. So to me, it was an amazing thing. It gave me a huge edge on anything I do in business and life.
Yeah. And with any martial art, it's very structured or it's very focused and it teaches you a lot of discipline, I would imagine.
Yes.
Right. Which, like you say, is very transferable to just things that happen in your life or certainly with business. So can you talk to us also about the fact, so you were a stockbroker for many years. I'd love to know, like, going from stockbroker into becoming an entrepreneur, and then let's dive into the entrepreneurial part. But I always like to know where people started.
Oh, yeah. One thing I always do, I take huge leaps sometimes and just kind of hope to build a parachute on the way down.
Okay.
So it was kind of funny because I had no intention to being a stockbroker. Ended up moving down to Dallas. And then I was seeing guys once again at jiu-jitsu. And I'd see these guys that had nice cars and they dressed nice. I'm like, what do you guys do? And like, oh, we're stockbrokers. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'd like to do that. And this was in 2001 when the market was on fire in a good way. And then also went bad after that in 2001. So ended up going in there, applied for a job, went through my interview, got hired and did that. And it was a really cool experience because I didn't grow up around money. I didn't understand money. And I didn't understood like basic, you know, of like balancing my checkbook, stuff like that, and not going into debt, but learning about investing and talking to millionaires all the time and realizing they're just regular people that put money away every month for a long time. It wasn't that complicated. And I'm like, why don't people teach this stuff?
Yeah,
well, I did. So I did that for a long time. And then it got to the point where it was weird. I hit as many steps up as I was going to go. And it was kind of like, okay, unless I want to go back to school and get an MBA and go into management, it's like, I can do sales and I can make this much. And then, you know, you get a 3 or 5% bump or whatever it was. And it was just kind of feeling kind of empty. And I started doing more and more jiu-jitsu because I just kind of kept calling me over there. And my friend had a business and his whole goal in life was to fight in the UFC. That's how I ended up in Dallas in the first place. I grew up in South Dakota in the Midwest. And he was like, hey, I'm going to move to Texas and then eventually fight in the UFC. I'm like, oh, I'll go down there and check it out for a year and see what it's like and fell in love with it down here. But when he got into the UFC, I was helping him manage his gym. And I'm like, hey, I'm pretty good at this. I kind of like this thing. And then I would go travel with him to the UFCs. And it's like, this is a way cooler lifestyle. This is pretty fun. It's like, you don't have to request vacation time. You can do all this stuff. But little did I know I was going to trade a 40-hour a week job for a 100-hour a week job as an entrepreneur. Because it just never ends.
Yes. Well, because as an entrepreneur, you're the visionary usually, right? So you are always waking up with ideas, maybe 3-4 in the morning or starting your day. You know, you have a million thoughts before you even make your first coffee.
Yeah, always. It's never ending. And that's the thing, you just kind of evolve through it. Because when I always joked around when I first had my gym, I was the person that unlocked the door, did every task for the rest of the day until I locked the door to close it. So So you go through those phases of you're like, okay, I've got to do something else or I'm going to burn out on this too. And I'm not going to enjoy it. And then I learned from other business coaches, like, hey, you have to hire staff and do this and do that. And then then it's like, oh, this is kind of fun. And then you start building it out into the real business. Then you have employees doing stuff. And then you're able to do less of the lower dollar tasks where you can be, like you said, the visionary and work on the bigger ideas. Mm-hmm. And then that just kind of morphed into consulting because people are like, I'd never won anything. I never fought in the UFC, but I had a really successful gym. And people are like, well, how are you doing this? And I'm like, well, I just do it this way. I run it like a business. And they were like, well, to them, that was like so revolutionary because they were like,
right.
Well, you have to win something and be semi-famous. And I'm like, no, you just have to be good at marketing and sales and just deliver a good customer experience. And it's really easy.
Yeah, that connection part is really key. So huge. Can you talk to us about, obviously, jiu-jitsu is a big part of what it is that you do still today, I believe. So what are some of the things that jiu-jitsu did offer you to help you with being disciplined in your business?
Yeah, it's been huge. Like I said, the health benefits, obviously, I always talk about that because it's like, I still feel younger. You know, I'm 47 now and I feel great, you know, except for my body does get sore sometimes after two. Yeah, you'll learn how much jiu-jitsu you can do in a week as you get older, unfortunately. So you have to supplement with some other things, doing walks and stuff like that and lifting. But what really helps, I tell people, is a lot of times, you know, you wake up, like you said, a million things on your mind, a bunch of stuff you got to do. And then we've all made decisions or reacted to something when you don't think it through and you like send off a text or an email and you're like, oh, I probably should have thought about that before I sent that. So one thing jiu-jitsu really helps with is teaching you how to relax under pressure. So it's so different. People think of like the violent side of like MMA and stuff like that. But to me, the fun part is when you get stuck in a really bad situation and, if you panic, you're going to get beat, and we call it, you tap out and you start over, but you lost and losing sucks. Nobody likes losing. So it's right. So you have to learn, like, I am in a really bad spot. If I panic, I'm going to get even more tired and then I'm going to get smushed and I'm going to lose. So it's like, okay, you take a couple of deep breaths. We teach people how to calm down when something bad's happening. So you take a couple of deep breaths, you get clear thought, like, okay, how do I get out of this situation? Like, where is there an opening? Where is there something I could do? And it's the same thing in business. I'll have days where I'm just like, I feel like the whole world's crushing in on me. And I'm like, oh my God, it's like, well, do I panic or just take a couple of deep breaths? Okay. What really needs to get fixed? What is not really that big of a deal? And how do we fix this? Then you fix it and you're like, oh, cool. That wasn't bad. And then you do it the next day and something bad happens every day. So it's like, you just get used to it.
Yeah, that's really, like I always say when coaching with clients, especially when they're budding entrepreneurs, is about that key piece of like, there are going to be struggles. There are going to be days when you want to throw in the towel. But most people or most, not people, but entrepreneurs, they say that they tend to quit right before their business was going to take off because they have so much energy and time that they put into this. But something has happened. It may have a really negative tone on them one day. It's about helping them push through it and realize like, okay, stay calm, understand this is kind of the rhythm of what happens when you're starting anything. It's never going to be 100% smooth. Ride it out, get through it and come out the other side and you'll see that it will bring a lot more positivity down the road. So love that. Throughout your journey, becoming a stockbroker, obviously there was things that were appealing to that. Jiu-jitsu certainly served a lot of purpose for you, such as, health and wellness and fitness. Through your journey, do you feel like you uncovered or awakened some purpose within you? Or do you feel like what you're doing today, being an entrepreneur yourself and helping others do the same, is that part of your purpose?
Yeah. And it's kind of gone full circle. I always laugh. It's like it literally has gone back to my beginning stages as a stockbroker. Because what happened as a byproduct of running a good gym, then I started doing consulting with another friend and helping people run their gyms and make them more profitable. And then that created a problem. Like, well, I don't know what to do. I have a bunch of money. And I'm like, well, that's a good problem. Let's, start investing. And like, well, I don't know how to invest. I'm like, it's not that hard. You just set up an account. So we do this, this, and this. And if you need financial planning, you go talk to somebody and they'll do that part for you. And then I kept having that conversation over and over again. And I was like, okay, maybe there's something here. So I started helping the gym owners with it. And they were like, hey, this is great. And then other entrepreneurs and all walks of life have hit me up and like, oh yeah, it's simple. We can do this, this, and this. Because I really found a purpose in 2020 when the whole world melted because essentially I was running a non-essential business and consulting for non-essential businesses. So you know how well that went over it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So you're the perfect person to be talking to for people who are still weathering the storm of that, right?
Oh yeah, it was unreal. Yeah. I mean, it was just like, I couldn't have been in a worse situation. I mean, I was just like, this is insane. This is crazy. It's like, I picked the two things that you can't do, but luckily I had been, following my plan and set up different accounts for different things. So it wasn't a big deal. And I had two types of clients. I tell people I had the one clients that would message me like, oh, thank you. I'm really glad I followed your advice and did this, this, and this. And the other ones were like, hey, I didn't do anything. What do I do now? Do I go to the bank? I'm like, banks are closed. You can't even go.
Right.
It's like you just hope and pray here, and that's all you can do right now. And I felt horrible because I couldn't do anything for him. It was like, there's just nothing. It was like everything was closed. Yeah. And it's like, but what came out of that was like, you know, I really felt like, hey, I can help a lot of people. I can show them these things. So, because as business owners, the biggest mistake I see everybody make, and they always would tell me, oh, my best investment is my business. Well, yeah, it is the best investment. It's going to give you the highest ROI, but you have to build assets up outside of your business because you never know what's going to happen. And I always use a recession as an example. I would never predict a pandemic. I mean, that was just insanity.
Right.
But once they start to get comfortable, they're like, hey, okay, I feel better about this. And it starts to give them hope too of like, hey, there's a way to eventually retire and do these things. Because a lot of them are like, well, I'll just sell the business eventually. I'm like, will you? I mean, is somebody going to want to buy? Is it set up properly? You know, is it a business that you can sell? If it's a service-based business like ours that's personality-driven, that's going to be, it's a tough sale. You have to put somebody in there and have them in the right spot. So the people start like, okay, I got to start thinking bigger. And it's like, yep, so let's start, you know, doing some real basic financial things, setting up accounts. And then the next thing is automations. Teach people how to use automations to move money because we just don't want to do it. Even I forget sometimes, like, oh, I was supposed to do something, wasn't I? And like, oh, I forgot to move money from this account to that account. So automations just change everything.
Right. So can you give us a clear snapshot of someone said, if I was to work with Paul, what is he going to show me? What can he do for me?
So my thing is, I like to people, it's funny because it kind of goes back like into jiu-jitsu and coaching, is basically when someone comes up, I'll say, we're going to look at where you're at. There's no gray. It's going to be black or white. These are going to be your numbers. And it's like, well, this is going to get better. Theoretically, I'm like, no, it's like, these are your numbers. This is where you're at. This is what you want to do. You have any of these accounts set up, anything? They're like, no. So my whole goal with them is to get them a plan of like, all right, we're going to create, you know, if they don't have a business savings account, we're going to create that. Then you obviously create an investment account outside of your business, having automations moving the money, and then creating that, we call it a financial freedom account, which basically fuels everything for the rest of your life.
Okay. So essentially you're not only helping them from like a sales and business standpoint, but you're really there to help focus on how do we create, you know, the holistic view of your business, including the financial part. Because a lot of people can teach people how to set up a business or how to do things, but they don't necessarily teach them about the financial side, which is like to your point in the beginning, you know, a lot of us, it's actually quite simple putting money away every month. But when people have their own business, maybe they don't consider that as also a tool to use to continue to grow money to, you know, for the business and for themselves.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I say, yeah, 100%. It's like we get so caught up in the business and I tell people like, I'm not perfect. It's like, you know, I had my business and we opened it in 2003 and then 2008, the recession hit. And then from one of my biggest mistakes to tell people is I didn't really invest from 2009 to like 2012. Or 2009 to 2012. And literally, if you look back at charts of the stock market, I missed out on like one of the best 3-year runs possible. And it was like, because I was a business owner, I freaked out about my business. And I was like, oh, I can't be investing right now. And I look back, I'm like, I could have done $100 a month. I could have figured something out. I never should have stopped, you know, because then even being an ex-broker, it was hard to get restarted. That's why I'm such a huge fan of automations. Because if it's running on automations, you don't have to deal with it. Unless something really bad happens, you just turn the automations off. So getting people to do that, it just changes everything for them.
Yeah, definitely. So would you say then, like the biggest mistakes that most budding entrepreneurs are making are that they're missing that financial piece?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one big thing too, and a lot of times it depends on the person. Like some people have got their stuff really together, but a lot of times I'll ask like, hey, you know, we meet up, bring up P&L. And they're like, oh, what's that? And I'm like, okay, we got to rewind really, really far. Because the thing I love about P&Ls is it's just, it's so black and white. It's like, it is or it isn't. There's no like, well, this should be, or well, this could be, or no, it's like, this is what it is. And so when I get mine from my account, and I look at it, I'm like, this is good. This is bad. All right. We got to address this. We spent way too much here. Why are we doing this? Is this worth it? You know, and then you'll start seeing things where you're like, okay, we can fix it. And then we build from there. So yeah, it's a huge piece.
Yeah. So if you could tell us just three things that could change the trajectory for a budding entrepreneur that's in that situation that is really not knowledgeable per se in the financial side of their business, what would be the top three things that you think you could tell them that would change that trajectory for them?
So the top three things would do is, if they don't have it already, is get a business savings account. So most people I talk to, they have a business checking account and they run everything through there. So get a business savings account is the first thing. And the second thing is create an automation from your business checking to your business savings. And I tell people, if you can do it daily because it's a smaller number, or at the most, do it weekly. Don't wait, do it monthly, because if the number gets big, it freaks people out sometimes. They don't want to move the money. They don't want to see it move out of their account. So they're like, what number do I start with? I'm like, if you don't feel comfortable and you don't know where you're at yet, start with a dollar a day. It's like $21 a month because of bank days. And so you're looking at like $20, $21 over the course of a month. You're not going to feel it. It's going to be fine. And then people will joke around. They're like, well, that's too easy. You know, that's not enough money. I'm like, well, it's a lot more than the zero you're doing right now. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay. Then they'll laugh and they'll be like, all right, can you do $5 a day? And they're like, oh, $25 a week. Yeah, I can do that. All right, cool. Set it up. Just let it run. So those are the first two things. And they start seeing it and it's like, hey, there's money in this account now. And it's, you know, it starts off a couple $100 and it's a couple thousand, you know, then, you know, they'll get there. Right. Like, hey, there's like 10 grand in this account. What do I do? I'm like, all right, the next step is now we're going to set up an account outside. I tell people do it in a different app, different thing. So if you use a bank, then use in the US, use like a brokerage account, same thing in Canada, because they call them brokerage accounts too, I believe, but investment accounts. So you create a brokerage account like TD Ameritrade, Fidelity, Schwab, Vanguard, any of those, just something. So when you log into your business checking and savings, we all do it every day on our phones. First thing I do in the morning is I check my phone, check my balances, what money is where. But I don't want to look at my investments. I don't want to see them. I compartmentalize my business. And then you have the other account over here. And then what you do is as this account builds up, the savings account, you look at it and like every quarter or whatever, you can do a distribution. People treat themselves like, going back to stock broker days, treat yourself like a publicly traded company. And a lot of those companies do is they report their numbers. So you report your numbers to yourself or your spouse, like, hey, these are our numbers. All right, we have 11,000 in savings. We're going to do a dividend distribution to our brokerage account of half of that. So $5,500. And then always check with your accountant, because I'm not a tax person, but you know, however you're structured, if you can do a distribution or if you got however you have to do it. But there's always ways to take money out. And then so you start creating this outside of the business and it's growing and it's growing. And then once you have it, you can do so many things with it. But if you don't do those first three things, then you just keep recycling the money through your business constantly. I've been there. I've done it. I have clients that are like that. But those are the three things I would definitely tell somebody to do.
Okay. What about one of your clients that really stands out to you? Someone that you saw maybe was it really in not set up in the best situation, and then what that transformation looked like for them? Who would that be for you?
I've got a few interesting ones. I've got one.
Yeah.
A guy we helped. His name's Johnny Buck. He's in Asheville, North Carolina. Came to us with a brand new gym, hardly any students. So like our consulting company, we basically helped him, because that part, I always joke around people, I said, that part's the easy part, because we teach you sales and marketing and how to do lead gen and all that stuff. And now we have consultants under us that work for us that do it. So kind of as we move, like we hire other coaches to help those. And Johnny's actually a coach of ours now, which cracks me up, because like when he came to us, he had like 8 students, couldn't figure things, and literally couldn't do anything right, you know, and started following the systems. And it's like, now I think his gym has like 300 and something members. It's
wow.
Stupid profitable. And then he was one of the guys that I helped before I was doing the financial stuff. I was doing it with my friends and he was like, hey, I don't know what to do. I have more money and I keep spending it. I'm like, cool, man. Just do what I just said to you guys to do those three things. He's like, okay, I did that. Now I got this much money in this account. I'm like, all right, how do you feel about the stock market? He's like, oh, I'll learn a little bit. I said, okay, just dabble a little bit, create like a Robinhood account and put a little bit of the investment money in there and just mess around with it. You know, buy some stocks, don't day trade, just buy stocks and hold them. He goes, yeah, but I really also want to get a rental property. I'm like, cool. How much money do you have in the financial freedom account? And he's like, oh, I got like 20 something thousand. I'm like, all right, cool. Go talk to your bank. See, you know, what you need for a down payment for a rental property. And so it's comical. So the guy literally has like a super successful gym now. He's got one or two rental properties now. Yeah, he's still learning how to invest in the stock market, but it's like, it's just cool to see somebody like, he's just following the plan. It's like, oh, this is cool. This is good. I like do it for myself. When I see my friends and clients doing it, I'm like, man, this is crazy. This is so much fun. And that's what I've really gotten even more driven behind this purpose.
Yeah. So incredible. So
it's wild.
Yeah. It's less about, well, maybe not less, but you really help them, you know, get their business off the ground. But really your goal is to help them build financial freedom, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the ultimate goal. Yeah.
So what has that done for your life?
Man, it's done so many things. It's freed up so much. And I joked around with my wife. I said, you know, in 2020, when the whole world was melting, she's like, what are we going to do? I'm like, well, we've got all these different accounts. We'll be fine. We can weather this thing for a few years. I didn't think it was going to last a few years and it did. But,
right.
Yeah, but I didn't want to get into my investments because I'm like, man, if I cash in those, this is going to suck, blah, blah, blah. So it was like, luckily I had you know, emergency account set up, like a reserve account, so you could get into that if we needed to. But it just the stress level, I didn't stress. I mean, I stressed about the business, but I didn't stress about my life. Like, I knew my family was fine. I knew we could pay the house payment for the next 2 years and the cars and everything like that. But the business, I was like, oh, I'm stressed out because I can't run my business. So,
right.
But having that financial peace of mind was crazy. And then, you know, everybody was freaking out in 2020, like, oh my God, sell everything, sell it. And I'm telling my friends and family, I'm like, don't sell. You do not sell at the bottom. Don't sell at the bottom. And half of them did. And what happened in 2020, we had the biggest stock market, one of the biggest stock market rallies of all time. I was laughing. I was telling my wife, like, we're making more money in the market now than we were with the gym. I feel like I'm cheating. It's like, I mean, Amazon's going up every day. I'm like, I'm just making money and I feel guilty and I'm not working. I'm just going for walks until I can reopen my gym. So it just puts you in a way better spot. And then I tell people, like, the first phase is getting started. Second phase is accumulating. Now I'm in the third phase of acquisition, where it's like, I always love the Warren Buffett model. Like, he's always buying, you know, stocks of boring companies and he actually buys the companies. So what I try to do is, and now that I'm at this stage of life, is trying to buy into other, obviously way smaller companies than what Warren Buffett does, but you know, buying into other types of companies, other industries that are not related to mine. So yeah, it's kind of fun. And everybody's like, oh, I want to do step three. I'm like, okay, let me know when you get steps one and two done. Then we'll talk about three, because three is like the sexy thing everybody wants. Like, oh, I want to do that and have passive income and do this. I'm like, well, you've got to get steps one and two done to get to that stage, unless you inherit a bunch of money or win the lottery. But otherwise, it doesn't happen.
Yeah. And it's a process, right? And people need to be patient with that. So what were some of the things that you needed to change in your business? So obviously, like you say, doors were closed, the pandemic hit. How did you stay connected to your community and not lose them?
It was horrible, because like, I'd be like, oh, just do stuff online. And anybody knows, like, jujitsu and MMA, you can't do it online. It's like, you know, and then my wife is not going to be like, hey, you want to drill some jujitsu? She's like, no. So it became for all of us about building community. It's like, okay, I knew I was like, I'm going to lose a lot of people no matter what I do. So that's going to hurt. It's going to sting. So what can I do? So we'd have like Zoom meetups and we would talk about fights. We'd watch like instructional things, you know, just BS. And then I'd put in the other like fitness challenges in our Facebook group. Be like, hey, this month we're doing, you know, a squat and push-up challenge. You know, we're going to do this. I'd post little workouts and motivational stuff. And really, I just kept telling people, hey, it's going to get better, you know, and unfortunately, we lost a lot of people. Everybody's own reasons for quitting and stuff. But then I had the diehards that are like, man, it's like, just keep charging me. I want the gym to be here when this is over, because the landlords didn't care. I had to pay my rent on the first of every month. Power company didn't care. Water company didn't care. Everybody's like, oh, bills due on the first. And I'm like, this is going to get ugly. But, you know, we had enough people stick around where I was able to not lay anybody off. Luckily, they were all part-time, but it was like, I was like, man, I don't want to cut into somebody else's income and get through that. But it was rough. I don't want to go through it again.
No, I'm hoping that we never will see that in our lifetime.
Yeah, never again.
Again, that was just insane. So do you think also being an entrepreneur helped you weather that storm well versus somebody who, you know, is reliant on the big guy, I call it. So meaning, you know, corporate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it helped. The mental side helped. I'm not going to lie. I was super jealous of the people that were getting paid to stay at home and not go to work. I was like, this isn't fair. My friends would be like, yeah, I'm not doing anything and we're getting paid. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'm doing a lot and not getting paid. This is backwards.
So yeah.
That was like the first time in my 19 years of an entrepreneur, I was jealous of somebody that had a job. I was like, man, maybe I should get a job and just work from remote for a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, the mindset, it kept, you know, you started to evolve. Like you said before, like, wake up with a million ideas. You know, I was trying to create different things. I'm like, oh, okay, let's do this. Let's do that. At one point, that's why I tell people it's always good to talk about your money situation with your spouse, because I was talking to my wife. I was kind of like, I don't know if they're going to let us reopen. I think we should buy a Subway or like a sandwich shop or something, buy a franchise, you know, and then we'll be able to make money, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, what happens when somebody calls in sick and you have to go in and make sandwiches? And I was like, oh yeah, I don't want to do that. I'm like, thank you for saving me 3 years and God knows how much money. And it could have worked out too at the same time, but it wasn't something I was passionate about. Would have been like, oh man, you know, it's like, can't wait to go do this, you know, but. So I started evolving and like, okay, maybe I could do this online, do that online. How can I bring more coaching stuff online? Then we started doing with the consulting company. We kept that afloat. And then, but the whole time, and I tell people, I was actually kind of happy in a way when everything kind of worked its way out. I'm like, okay, the financial coaching, stuff like that is something I can do online. I can help people all over. And it's just a lot of fun. So it evolved.
Yeah. So what would you say if someone was interested in becoming an entrepreneur? Certainly, we're still seeing companies, big companies, laying off people, and they're, you know, thinking maybe they should venture the entrepreneurial journey. What advice would you give them? What do you think would be the most important for them to hear or take with them to decide on that track?
I would say find something you really enjoy. Like, don't make the leap just for money and hoping something works. I talk people do that all the time too. And they're like, oh, it didn't work. I'm like, well, you have to like when I had my gym and it wasn't doing good, I still loved the gym. I loved being there. I loved everything about it. And I'm like, okay, you know, this is going to work. So I would say find something you enjoy, you know. And the crazy thing is, we're living in the craziest time, you know, like Gary Vee made all these crazy predictions, you know, 5-10 years ago about people making money off Pokemon videos and, you know, right, different things like that. And we're in a community now where the world is, you can create so many different things. And there's so many ways to monetize things with social media, with, you know, selling products, whatever your thing is. But I would say make sure it's something you really, really care about. And before you take the full leap, take like a baby step of like starting something up on the side, doing it as a side hustle. Like, okay, am I going to get traction in this? And then you might find out like, really don't like this. I like my job. Or, oh, I love this. I want to do more of this. And then your body's naturally going to be like, hey, we're going in this direction. And so it's...
Yeah, it kind of goes back to the beginning of our conversation about how challenging being an entrepreneur can be, right? So if you don't really love it and it's something that you can't do, I always say ad nauseum, then you're going to have a really tough time when times get tough. So, but when you're in it because of the love for it or the passion that you have for it, it's way easier to weather those down times or struggling or challenges.
Yeah, I agree. It's a bumpy road. It's still bumpy.
Yeah. It always is, but it's an interesting ride. And, you know, I think entrepreneurs get so much out of being an entrepreneur, meaning that freedom, just being able to have the freedom of thought, the freedom of, you know, like you say, not having to call in sick somewhere if they need a mental health day or something. Speaking of that, I imagine with jiu-jitsu being a big part of your life that you have a wellness routine. What would that be?
Physical or?
Just wellness in all. So I look at wellness, you know, it can be mindset, it can be physical. What's your maybe morning routine and your evening routine? That's a good place to start. Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of that, is also because if you don't feel well, you're not going to perform very well. It goes back to competing in jiu-jitsu. It's like, if you feel like garbage, you're going to compete like garbage. And so I want to be at optimal so I can do the best thing I do. So get up in the morning, drink a lot of water, you know, wait a little bit, have some coffee, go through the things that I got to get done today, things I'm grateful for. I try to do a lot of mindset, you know, either listen to podcasts or reading a book or listen to an audio book, something positive. And it's either a jiu-jitsu workout or a weight workout in the morning, and then try to eat healthy lunch, focus on the things I got to do all my meetings and call like in the afternoon usually. And then at night, you know, before that, I hang out with the family, do all that good stuff. The kids are getting older now. They're 17 and 20, so they're harder to hang out with. They don't want to hang around with me as much. So it's,
yeah.
So I do that. And then at nighttime, it's either jiu-jitsu or the gym again during the week. And then after that, dinner with the family, hang out, watch some TV, get some sleep. As you get older, you realize that you got to focus on your sleep too. So it's like, I have the or my Aura ring, look at my sleep score. You know, it's like the weird stuff you start tracking, because it's important, because, you know, I want to be super successful and hit all my goals, but do I want to be 70 and unable to do anything because I didn't take care of myself? I have friends that are my age that I'm like, I don't think they can go up two flights of stairs. I'm like,
oh my God.
I'm like, how is retirement going to be for you? You know, it's like,
yes,
if you make it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, mindset, health, and wellness every day, everyday routine. Oh, and saunas. I'm Scandinavian, so
I love a
sauna nut. So anybody listens like Dr. Huberman or Rhonda Patrick, you know, it's like those things are huge. I love saunas. Mm-hmm. That's where I get my best thinking done too. So
nice. So you still have gyms, I imagine.
Yeah, I'm down to one now.
Oh, down to one. Okay. And where would that be if people were interested in checking it out?
I'm in Keller, Texas, just north of Fort Worth.
Okay. And if people wanted to meet with you, or if they wanted to contact you and learn more about the services that you provide to entrepreneurs and gym owners looking for financial freedom, how can they connect with you?
Yeah, they can go to my website, www.paulhalme.com. And on social media, Instagram is my favorite, / paul, period, halme. Unfortunately, I love Instagram. It's my favorite one, but unfortunately, they let those scam accounts go and try to scam people out of crypto. So like literally my bio says, I will not ask you for crypto. That's the thing. If you start talking about investing, they go after your friends. It's insane. You report the Instagram and they don't do anything about it. And I've had people, unfortunately, send crypto to this other Paul. And I'm like, it's not me. Sorry. It's like, so I had to put it in my bio, but I just love Instagram because it's a happier place, at least for social media for me.
And I love Instagram.
And I love people's stories. I love watching people's stories, entrepreneurs and people that are, because they'll post, kind of, you see the hustle a little bit more from there. It's not as polished as like everybody's like Facebook post where it's like this very serious picture shot from the side and with a philosophical quote. And then you know the person, you're like, that's not what you would say. But
Right. Well, even Instagram, you know, you have the ones who are always polished and then you have the ones that are just real. And some days you wake up and you're not so polished and that's okay. You can still get your content out.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be done. Yeah. So I do a lot of that. I put a lot of free content out on the blog and on Instagram, too. So I'm pretty consistent there.
Okay, perfect. Is there anything else that we didn't cover that you think you'd like to share, Paul, before we move on today?
No, I think that was awesome. I had a good time. The one thing I would tell people to do, especially because I see a lot, you know, you start getting older and you start losing friends and family members, is like, enjoy the journey as entrepreneurs, as like competitors. It's always like, get to the destination, get there faster, you know, get to this point, get to this area. And every time I get to a major goal that I've had in my life, it's like, oh, cool, we did it. And then it's like, I guess I better set another goal. And that it's like, I didn't enjoy the journey. It's like, I wish I could think like key points of life. Why didn't I just stop and smell the roses and been like, this is really fun. You know, instead it's like, no, we're going to get to this next thing. And I'm like, we got to celebrate our victories more and just enjoy the journey because you know, we're only going to get one ride.
Yeah, I love that. And people don't realize, but you know, the grind doesn't always have to be a hard grind all the time. It can be really fun.
Yeah, 100%.
So make sure you're bringing joy into it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Paul. It was really great to have you share your insights, and I wish you all the best in your business.
Well, thanks for having me. I had a good time.
Thanks so much for tuning in. New episodes drop each week, and I'd love your support on this mission to intrigue and help others bound fearlessly into their future. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe and share a rating or review on your favorite podcast platform. Fearless Future Podcast is made possible by platforms such as Buzzsprout and Riverside FM. If you're interested in starting your own podcast, Buzzsprout is a great place to start to host, promote, and begin tracking your podcast. They have a 360-degree service and a ton of videos to help you get set up, choose the right equipment, and how to monetize your podcast. Their customer service is the quickest and most reliable to keep you growing and never stall your creative output. It's a super easy platform to use and connect your podcast to all major platforms for listeners to find you. So ready to launch your podcast? Go ahead and use the Buzzsprout link that I put in the show notes and receive a $20 Amazon gift card after your second paid invoice. Riverside FM is my studio platform that allows me to schedule and invite guests into a professional and interactive studio. You can have one or multiple guests, and it records separate tracks for ease in editing and creating clips. It's an intuitive platform that makes your videos look great and improves any sound quality, including sound effects. Follow the links in the show notes to review if these platforms can work for you. Want a secret for editing? Check out the Descript link that I put in the show notes. This is the easiest platform I've ever used to edit podcasts or any type of audio or video. So yes, you can upload video. You can get the transcript. All you have to do is edit the transcript and you're done. Super easy. Check it out. All the best on your journey and have a fantastic week. Fearless Future Podcast is made possible by platforms such as Buzzsprout and Riverside FM. If you're interested in starting your own podcast, Buzzsprout is a great place to start to host, promote, and begin tracking your podcast. They have a 360-degree service and a ton of videos to help you get set up, choose the right equipment, and how to monetize your podcast. Their customer service is the quickest and most reliable to keep you growing and never stall your creative output. It's a super easy platform to use and connect your podcast to all major platforms for listeners to find you. So ready to launch your podcast? Go ahead and use the Buzzsprout link that I put in the show notes and receive a $20 Amazon gift card after your second paid invoice. Riverside FM is my studio platform that allows me to schedule and invite guests into a professional and interactive studio. You can have one or multiple guests, and it records separate tracks for ease in editing and creating clips. It's an intuitive platform that makes your videos look great and improves any sound quality, including sound effects. Follow the links in the show notes to review if these platforms can work for you. Want a secret for editing? Check out the Descript link that I put in the show notes. This is the easiest platform I've ever used to edit podcasts or any type of audio or video. So yes, you can upload video. You can get the transcript, and all you have to do is edit the transcript and you're done. Super easy. Check it out. All the best on your journey and have a fantastic week.